हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 43. Okay, bottom 43. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to verse 6. If one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by having his gross body touched by the Lord, his body turns into a spiritual body, and he can get back home, and he can go back home, back to Godhead. Gajendra assumed a spiritual body when his body was touched by the Lord. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj assumed his spiritual body in this way. Archan Padati, daily worship of the deity, provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. Not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by hearing about his pastimes, chanting his glories, touching his feet, and offering worship. By serving the Lord, somehow or other, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. One who is a pure devotee, Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, who acts according to the Shastra and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly becomes purified. Like Gajendra, he assumes a spiritual body and returns home back to Godhead. So, by contacting the Supreme, then we become to that same quality. That's the position. Right? Yes.
Previously we said that Gajendra, he went back to Godhead by being touched by the Lord. And Crocodile went back to being who? Even though he was touched by the disc of the Lord himself.
He's touched by the disc, so it's his associate. But he was more, you would have been interested in being a demigod. So Indradumna was a devotee, and then he got cursed. Huhu was Gandharva, a demigod, and he went back to that position.
So it's not only being touched by the Lord, but also the desire of the living entity who is touched.
Well, you see, is that, what's his name? Gajendra is directly touched by the Lord. So that direct touch, then that, because he grabbed him with his hand and pulled him out of the water, and simultaneously then killed the crocodile. So you can say is there he's, so that's what's being brought out is in the pancharatric system, then we're able to touch the Lord like that. So we hear, we chant, we touch his lotus feet like this, so we can offer prayers, offer the service. So by all these we become qualified to go back to Godhead. But here then the point was is being touched by the Lord, so the deity worship affords that aspect. But as it said is then according to Shastra you follow these things, you know, because the words of the Lord like that. So that combination then makes it work really well. That's why we're not in the habit of opposing Shastra. Right? We may try to figure out how this applies in our life, but we don't oppose it. It's not that Shastra's wrong and I'm right. We don't start from my position. We start from the Lord's position. That's the point of Sarvadharma Parityaja. We start from the Lord's position, and then we come back into how do I apply my position to that. If we're starting from the other way, we start from my position and then try to go to the Lord. This is also a bona fide position, but then there's the chance that we may look in Shastra for ways to support our position as opposed to the position of the Lord, our relationship with Him. So that's why it's considered better you start with the nature of the Lord, then that brings out the nature of the jiva. But if we start with the nature of the jiva, then we're going to look around how we can support that. We may not, so if we're more direct, that then you can have pure devotional service on that level. So pure devotional service starts at that level, at the material level, but at the same time is that you could say it's in its nice, it's well situated in the uttama level. So that's why we always endeavor for that. We may not be able to function like that all the time, but at least some of the time we should endeavor like that. Right? Sometimes we should think, what does Krishna want, and then work it back to us. Right? Because the rest of the time, then we will start with ourselves, and hopefully we work it towards the Lord. Yeah, like that. So, yeah. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continues. This Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnava, and the king of the country known as Pandya, which is in the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life, he was known as Indradumna Maharaj. Indradumna Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malaya Hills, where he had a small cottage for his ashram, right? So that shows it could be the same. Yeah. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing a vow of silence, he was fully engaged in worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of God, while Indradumna Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Agastya Muni arrived there, surrounded by his disciples. When the Muni saw that Maharaj Indradumna, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of offering him reception, he was very angry. Agastya Muni then spoke this curse against the king. This king Indradumna is not at all gentle. Being low and educated, he has insulted a Brahmin. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So on this level is that you have just a sage and then you have these great devotees. They don't actually have to accept. It's not that their curse has power over them. But because it was arranged by the Lord to go this way, therefore then he accepted it. Because then you could have this nice Gajendra pastime, which will show the glory of the devotee, the glory of the Lord, the relationship between them, the insignificance of the demigods, you know, all these different things. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service, he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 12, this is the unique position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse because the devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him, and when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds. Tatte nukampam shushamik shamana. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:8. This is a practical example of how a devotee thinks. He regards any reverses in his life as blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, he continues his activities of devotional service. And Krishna takes care of him and enables him to be promoted to the spiritual world back to Godhead. If a devotee has to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, the Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of these reactions, and very soon he is freed from all reactions of material contamination. Right, so it's only a part, as we discussed before. So it's never, it goes the other way that he gives more. Right? Because for the materialists, they get just what they deserve, right? They performed a certain action, they get the results of that. So then for the devotee, it gets reduced, so why would it be more, right? Because even the materialists don't get more than they deserve. Yes?
In this regard, Maharaj, it was discussed in the first canto that why did the Pandavas have to suffer? And in that regard, maybe it's different with the...
No, but it's the arrangement of the Lord. See, so what we have to do is that means we understand this, that it's the Lord's arrangement, because by that, then you have this Mahabharata, which is just about them, right? We could say in the Vedic literatures, there's two main itihases. You know, it means you have a Purana, which means that it'll start from creation, primary creation, secondary creation, then the Prajapatis, then the Manus, then all the kings. And it'll go like that down to the end of the Kali Yuga. Right? So it'll start from before it come down to the end of the Kali Yuga. So that means it goes to the past, the present, and the future. Right? So now, in doing that, it's talking about all those different kings and personalities. So an itihas means it's about just one person. You know, and everything connected around them. So we have two itihases. Ramachandra, which is just about him, and Mahabharata, which is about the Pandavas. Right? So, then that particular position is great. Now, if their troubles aren't more than yours, why would you listen to them? Right? Isn't that, we get, you know, the typical one sits around and tries to point out who's the bigger victim than the other one? You know, yeah, I know I had this happen. Oh, that's nothing. You know, the other day this happened to me, and then they're, oh, well, but that's that far. You know, you understand? No? Yeah. So unless it's more than everybody else, why would we listen? You understand? So, therefore, then it basically boils down to this. For the devotee, then we see, like with Indraduna Mars, and for the Pandavas, it's not a problem. Because it's being, if it's the Lord's desire, it's all happening nicely. If we are attached to the idea of justice and things should be very equal and I shouldn't get more than I deserve, don't worry, because the Lord isn't going to perform these pastimes with you. So you never have to be in anxiety that I'm getting more than I deserve. You understand? Yeah. So in other words, that example of the Lord applying situations to them does not apply to you. It means it is happening by the Lord's arrangement, but it's not going to be more than that, because to have that thing where you can do such great things, you have to have total surrender. Does that make sense? So if we're worried about that it's more than it should be, that means that it lacks total surrender. So therefore, it's not happening to you. You understand? So therefore, you can relax and just whatever it is, Krishna's, you know, reducing it.
No itihasas about us.
So yes, no itihasas about us. Yeah. Like that. Yes, but that's it's like this. That could be from their what would happen to them from previous activities. But the point is Krishna leaves that as it is. He reduces it, all this and that, for the principle that they serve as examples of how to be Krishna conscious in those positions. Right? You know, it's like here, you know, Modi ji makes some adjustments in the bills. We have so much trouble. We're sitting there, you know, I say fumes coming out of our ears and this and that. Are we being Krishna conscious? How much did we actually lose, or did we actually lose anything? It's just some inconvenience. Right? Yudhishthira Maharaj lost an empire. Not a kingdom, an empire. And he's cool. That's what we gain. Not, bad things happen to pure devotees, so therefore is bad things happening to me, that, okay, they're pure devotees, happening to them, but I'm not a pure devotee, why is this happening to me? All this kind of discussions you can just, you know, push delete. You understand? You don't need to have any of these discussions, because they don't apply to us. Does that make sense? So in other words, get down to that. If something's happening to me, it's because in the previous some time and previously I have done things that this would be the natural reaction for it. Now, whether it's fully as it was, and I can't complain about that, because then it matches my activity before. So I can't complain that, oh, this is so bad, that means my activity was so bad. Or we could look at it, that Krishna's so kind, he's reducing it, even though it's so bad, it could be worse. Right? And so in this way, then we understand that I'm my lack of Krishna consciousness, that's the problem. And then by being Krishna conscious, that's the solution. But if I sit around and brood upon, should I be getting this and how much of this and what about the others? They're also implicated and they should, what's their reaction? All this, that's not our business. We don't have to worry. Maya's already working that out and she doesn't even have to think about it. So we're just wasting our time. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this attachment to justice, then the problem comes as, yeah. Then we can get justice, but you have to remember the results of justice happen here, not in the spiritual world. So if you want justice, then you have to be here to get it. Does that make sense? That's the whole problem. So, you know. So that other person getting run over by the truck means you have to be there standing on the side to watch them get run over by the truck. But then the problem is even though you get to watch it and you should have great satisfaction because it's in another body, you don't remember the previous body, so you don't remember that you wanted them to get run over by a truck. So even they got run over by a truck, so justice is served, then you don't even get to really appreciate it. So justice is way overrated. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But also the king here.
A little louder, please.
The king also like takes on the sinful reactions of the citizens, and the preacher takes on the sinful reactions of the people whom he preaches. So that also adds.
So this is what is the conclusion of this point?
So it's not all their own passions.
It's not all their own fault.
No.
So then you could think, I am preaching, so therefore the reactions that happen to me aren't actually mine, they're all the reactions of the people I preach to, so therefore I can feel better.
No. Huh? Then it would be nice to see the justice.
Just. You understand? So, in other words, these are conversations we don't get involved in, because what's happened, the Lord is there, He's taking care, that's why you say Krishna karma. Now the point is Krishna karma, you get the benefits of Krishna karma when you see it connected to Krishna and favorably for Krishna. But if we just are worried about justice, then we're actually in consciousness of material karma. So we're not really going to get the benefit of the transcendental. So we might say that about others. They're getting reactions taking on, you know, the spiritual masters taking on the disciples and that, and so therefore he's having a tough. We can see like that, but if we use it for ourselves, then it's not, doesn't work out so good. Yeah. That's why I was asking what's your purpose. Okay, yes.
This pastime is actually very similar to the pastime of person Maharaj Parikrama.
Yes.
Just the reverses the, you know, Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas.
Yes.
Otherwise it's the same exact thing.
Yes, 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 yes. But then from it, then you see in both of them, one, then you get the Bhagavatam spoken, another, you get one of the main stories within the Bhagavatam. Yeah, so it's a similar thing. Because both of them were the same, they just accepted because they felt, well, you know, I deserve it. So then, or it's arrangement of the Lord, whatever it is, whatever the mentality. And so then it goes on. Because what's going to happen anyway is going to be by the Lord. Right? So the arrangement of the Lord, that'll happen. So what's the problem going along with it? Yeah. Yeah. Yes?
How do you tell the difference between when something unfortunate happens in your life, say you start a project and it fails, that this was the Lord's arrangement for me to become detached, versus I'm just really terrible at something, I have a lesson to learn.
But what's that lesson to learn?
Maybe I need to be a better manager or a better...
But how will you be a better manager?
Maybe by learning from good managers.
Okay, that's technique. Right? But when you apply technique, at which time frame do you apply the technique? Past, present, or future?
Present.
So that means, and what controls... What mode controls the present?
Goodness.
Okay. What mode controls the future?
Passion.
Okay. So now, if we combine these two that you said, that I'm supposed to learn to be less attached, what does that mean? I'm thinking about future results and the benefits I'll get. Therefore, it doesn't work out.
Okay.
So they're the one and the same. Good managers can work in the present without attachment. And I mean even the grossest karmis, the successful guys, that's what they do. Because at the moment, they're just focused on how to make the mechanics work. So they're not attached to the results. They can't be. They know what results they want, so they see if what I'm doing now is getting moving in the direction of what I want. But they can't be attached to it, because as soon as they're attached to it, they're in the future, and they're not functioning at the present. That's why, that's the real reason that some people are successful and others are not. Successful ones function in the present. The unsuccessful in the future or past. So the ones in the past, everyone will say, okay, they're lamenting, they're in the past. That, but about the future, then we don't, the common person doesn't notice that. You know what I'm saying? Because from ignorance to, up to passion is a step up. You understand? But for those in passion, they know that you have to work with goodness to get this thing. Because until you have it, you can't enjoy it. But the common person thinks, I'm working for it, I already have it. They're already happy about the result, but they haven't gotten it yet. Well, successful people will function, will perform the duties until they get it. That's the time then you see passion comes up and now they want to enjoy it. You understand?
So there's something good.
You understand? So this is the whole point. The, what do you call it? The self-help management and all these kinds, they'll never teach you that. Right? So in other words, these different people, they learned that they either, you know, by karma understood, they learned it from somebody. But you're not going to get these in books, because nobody explains attitude. Other than, yeah, you can do it, and you can, by wanting it, you attract it, and all this kind of jazz. But the whole point is that, you know, okay, great, now how is it going to happen? You know what I'm saying? You have to act. So they're simply trying to say that you can do it. But the point is in doing it, you have to be in the present. So the whole point is here, maybe your technique is not good, but more important than the technique is actually be focused in the present, seeing what's there. Because even if you don't know technique, if you have the ability, you'll figure out technique as you go. Because you can tell, is this going in that direction? I am walking. I want to get over there. Am I going that direction? If I find, well, I'm going over there, I see the tree in front of me, then what's wrong? Then I turn. You know, then someone comes in, hey, then you're going that way. And so then you turn again and you keep going. So when you're in the present, you can work that out. That's why the Vedas talk about mode of goodness, because only in mode of goodness can there be any facilities and profit. So when devotees reject the Vedic system as not practical, using a euphemism, then they're foolish. Does that make sense? Totally. The Vedic culture is the only one where everybody can be wealthy. In the modern, it's that somebody is wealthy at someone else's expense. And then we're going to say this is going to solve our problems. We have to understand if we're community, we are at whose expense the others are making money. You just have to know that. Right? And then because of that, and you know you can't get it, then we absorb ourselves in conspiracy theories, because at least then we can feel good about why we feel bad, you know, like that. It's not our fault. You know, it's those 3-foot tall guys in pinstripe suits in Zurich, you know, it's all their fault. Why are they 3 foot tall? That's the thing that I'm trying to figure out. I can understand the pinstripe suits, but yeah.
I'm trying to catch the underlying principle that if any situation in life, whether it's like you gave the example of management, but suppose it's a relationship, suppose it's a business.
But it's in the present. The relationship is happening at the present. Your choices that you're doing are happening at the present. So therefore, what to learn is that if you're not in the present and you're not functioning in detachment, you can't get any result. You just can't. See, we're not used to this. We're used to, you want it, you get it. Isn't that how the song goes? Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is this pop culture is all about that. You want it, you can have it.
So the devotee thinks this is the Lord's mercy to teach me to be present and work with
him. No, he's teaching you to remember him. Because if you remember him, then what mode are you in?
Goodness.
Pure goodness. Okay, so that means really in the present. So that's why the pure devotees are always successful. That's why it's not a separate technique. This going around looking for techniques and all that, this is for fools. Literally, for fools. Like I said, in the corporate world, you have 90 days to get it together. Right? So now we've been applying this corporate concept for the last 20 years. Who would hire anybody connected with that? Anybody, top to bottom. No one would be hired. You understand? Now that's reality. This is not theory. So, what was Prabhupada teaching us? Be Krishna conscious. Do everything for Krishna. So if you're doing that, Krishna gives intelligence. Look at it before. Okay, let us just take, we want to take all these Wallace from the 60s, okay? Now, at that time, you had, means that something you don't have nowadays, but and then you had one musical group. They were popular in the whole world. Everybody liked them, right? Then, that whole generation, they were like their idols. Then you take a handful of devotees, they're sent to London by Prabhupada. Whose house are they staying in? How would that happen by technique? It happened because they're Krishna conscious. They didn't go, wow, you guys got such great technique, I really appreciate it. Hey, why didn't you come over and stay in my house? So that's the whole point. It's foolish, all this stuff that we're going to make bhakti perfect by management. It's really not good intelligence. First class intelligence is being Krishna conscious. Then you could say second class is brahminical. Third class is administrative. Fourth class is going to be vaishya. So we're trying fourth class consciousness is going and technique is going to make first class. How does that add up? And especially when it's economics, which is based on numbers, and addition being the basis of numbers, and they can't add? You understand? That's why Prabhupada says it's the philosophy. You understand that, you get everything. That's why we say you have Krishna conscious, everything else will come as a side benefit. Karma and jnana come as a side benefit. But we're not thinking, no, I'm only going to get those benefits if I separately work for it. That's illusion. That's what the Bhagavatam's talking about. We have to remember is that vox populi is not vox dei. Just because they say it doesn't mean it's real. Doesn't mean it's true. So the whole fundament of this whole concept is totally bogus. Prabhupada was a top businessman. He couldn't have just shown all those things? No, but then we'd think that's the thing. In Bombay, they're sitting there in the temple. Prabhupada says, I can teach you how just sitting here, you don't even have to leave the temple. You'll make tons of money. He says, but I won't because you'll become lazy. Why? Because he wanted them to be Krishna conscious. Because otherwise in prosperity, we tend to forget the Lord. That's what Kunti's prayers were. So we're thinking, when we're prosperous, then we'll remember the Lord. Somehow or another, Kunti didn't agree with that. And she not only is a major point in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada wrote a whole book about her. So we'd have to take that as significance, her mentality. 11 verses, Prabhupada made a book out of it. What does that say? It means that you know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and can apply it in your life, then what is not available? That's the whole point. That's why we have all variety of people becoming Krishna conscious. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they're kids. Right? Otherwise, we'd say, oh, no, only if you're from this particular demographic, then you can make it work and that. But since when does demographics have to do anything with Krishna consciousness? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that the philosophy is real. It's not just theory. They'll say, oh, that's theory. Now let's get down to reality. So there's no reality in what they say. Zero. It may be words that people that work with reality are using, but the mentality is totally unrealistic. Because if it is good, why isn't it working? Why isn't it happening? You know, just this last, was the last festival, festival 4, then they start introducing systems. So what does that mean? That means the strategic planning didn't work. Now it's another one. You know, before that, in the 90s, everyone was talking cubby out your ears. You know, yeah, that's win-win to the ruler. Well, that's, you know, that's second quadrant, you know. Oh my God, you know. I want to watch that stuff, I'll watch Mad Men, you know. No? And they're better at it. Better lingo. Dress better, also. You understand? So, that's the whole thing, is that, no, this is what Prabhupada's giving us. This is it. On this, then you base everything else, then it works. And if you don't, then good luck. Because it's never worked before, it's not going to work now. Yes.
It's all fourth quadrant.
Fourth quadrant, the Ekapad Vibhuti. Yes, it's material consciousness. Though, we don't see it that way. Because of our lifestyle in devotional service, we're more affected by goodness, so we don't actually see the danger in the material world, the material consciousness. We think it's okay. But actually, it's not. Point is we have our methods, the karmis have theirs. We do the 5-day seminar on something, and now everybody's an expert. But in the business world, they've already done so many years of other things and so many years of experience. Then they've had that 5 days. You just put that 5 days, you're not going to get anything. Right? That's reality. But where does all the money come from for the modern economic progress? Right? Means the ones that are generating it are the guys on the top. The guys that are working their backsides off are the guys on the bottom. But who are the guys with, you know, what's it called? The money that's expendable?
Disposable.
Disposable income. Who has that? The guys in the middle. So it's the guys in the middle that think, no, everything's great and I just buy things, everything will be perfect. I just read the, you know, it's just economics. The guys on the top and the bottom will never agree with that. What I'm telling to you, I tell the guys on the top and the bottom, they'll understand within the, you know, first 30 seconds. The guys in the middle, that no, but you know, because they're holding on to this idea that they're going to be happy here. They can make an arrangement, make everything perfect. Right? So that's the whole point. Good. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 12, "This is the unique position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse because the devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him. And when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds." Tate nu kampam. We already read this, right? Shushu mikshamana. We're on this. Okay. One should therefore hear the devotional service, and the Lord himself will be very soon. He will. What is it? And the Lord himself will very soon see to one's promotion to the spiritual world. So he'll see to our promotion, not just we've got to do it ourselves. Huh?
By techniques.
Not that we, good, how you say? What's the claw our way up to the top, and claw our way back to Godhead, right, yeah. The devotee should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program. depending on the Lord for everything. So whether the Lord arranges it, but we see it according to our past and what we're doing. So we know we're in the material world. If we're in the material world, we can't say that I'm a great God. Right? Means within we might be, just like in the prison. You have some guys that totally won't follow any of the rules and those guys who are willing to follow the rules. But what you have to remember is they are all in prison. Right? So, therefore, they're just the nice guys among the not so nice guys. Right? Or less bad guys amongst the bad guys. Yes?
It's almost impossible not to be disturbed because the mind seems to be like an independent entity. Even Mahaprabhu gives an example that when the devotees came and asked him, he said, I think my mind doesn't go. Of course, it's all devotional in that case.
Yes, yes.
But with us, it seems like not to worry or not to be disturbed.
But we have to use intelligence. That's the whole point. To bring it farther, more practical, then the mind goes to these things because of attachment. But we have to control that with the intelligence. So we understand is that it can't happen unless the Lord allows it to happen. Why would it happen unless there's something for us to gain from it? So therefore, by intelligence, that it's there. So that means, and we wouldn't notice it if it wasn't something from our past. Right? Does that make sense? So, you know, King Indradumna, he knows all the dealings and this and that, but as a king, there may be situations where, as a king, he doesn't pay attention, he doesn't do this and that. So he can relate it back to that. Right? You know, if it was this... does that make sense? Yeah. So you can always relate it back, because things that will happen to you will only happen that could happen within the context of you. Like Parikshit Maharaj could be, because when they hunt, they get absorbed in the hunt because of the pitta, kapha pitta kind of constitution. Then they're going to have that drive, right? So then they're going to get to the point where it doesn't go away, right? For the brahminical, is generally more vata, so you can get really thirsty, but then it'll go away. It's just that you get really hungry, then it'll go away. But when you're dealing with pitta, you get hungry, it doesn't go away. You get thirsty, it just doesn't go away. So therefore, as a king, then for that to happen and get to the point where he's just so thirsty, he was so absorbed in the chase that he didn't, wasn't paying attention. And now that they've stopped, he is so thirsty. So coming into the ashram and then he's not being dealt with properly, then he could get upset. Does that make sense? So then that's the thing, is that it matches. So then with Indradumna, he was a king before. So not paying attention and being too proud of his position could have happened. So they can relate to it. So the reactions will always be in an area where we relate, because otherwise if it's in another area, we just don't care. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why when we use the intelligence, then we can control the mind. So it's not that it won't come up. We're not saying it won't come up, because otherwise he did think about it, but he thinks that it's the arrangement of the Lord. So it's like, why did this happen? It must be the arrangement of the Lord. Just he quickly moves to that position, while we may take us more time, days, weeks, months, till finally we can deal with it and okay, use the intelligence and move on.
I mean, it took him 1,000 years.
No, but this is as Indradumna he's accepted, so that happened to me there. But as the elephant, yes, it took him 1,000 years.
Some solace for
us. Yes, some solace for us. Okay. Is that... So in other words, that it happens just like the principle of the Yamunacharya. So he's Uttamadikari, but the mind does what the mind does. So the mind drags up things from before when he was a king. And so when he drags that up, then he thinks this is not nice. Is that the sense? So, yes, the mind does do what it does. That's why when it's completely fixed on Krishna, then it's the best friend. Right? And when it's basically, agreeable with Krishna consciousness, then it's acting as a friend, but we never trust it. Right? In other words, we'll never let it go into its own area chaperoned or supervised. Because in its own area, then it'll take one off here and there. Because in theory, yes, it could go into this area, and in this area, it could do a certain thing, but also in that area, it's been known to go off in another direction, so it'll tend to do that. So that's why then the intelligence is used, because the intelligence can control it. Because the mind, all it does is accept and reject based on samskaras. So all those samskaras are there. So the samskaras are in the intelligence. Right? The impressions are in the memory and the intelligence. But the mind, you know, always accesses the intelligence, the memory. And then starts to accept and reject based on that. Right? So, therefore, it's the intelligence that can control it, because the basis for it to accept and reject is coming from the intelligence anyway. So if the intelligence presents this is what's best, then the mind starts to, you know, accept and reject based on that.
I was just thinking, when the mind is in agony, the intelligence brings a lot of information, but because he's in such a state, he just can't.
Yes, but as the identity deepens that we're devotee of Krishna, then more quickly that becomes a feature, because the decision you'll make is based on your identity. So if the intelligence is bringing information, that's good information, but the mind's not accepting it, it makes decisions based on identity. So that means the identity still is you know, on the previous samskar. So as we get purified, then that samskar gets purified, the identity gets purified, and we start to change. It becomes easier. So in other words, technically it becomes easier, but the main point is the dependence on Krishna. That then makes the process goes quicker, because Krishna is the one that he's the power behind the mind, the intelligence, the senses, and everything. So when we take shelter of him, then he gives us the intelligence to come to him. Yes.
Quick question: why is the mind considered a product of the moon goodness?
Because it works on. What should be done, what's not to be done. Yes, like that. So, and the mind functions best therefore, and because it's come from there, it functions best in an environment of goodness. So the more clean, the more orderly, the more proper things are, the better the mind functions. You find that the lower the consciousness, generally you see, is because the lower the place that they're in. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes we know that something's going to be trouble, it's going to be a problem, but you know, for the benefit of Krishna consciousness, then we accept that anyway.
Yes.
So does that come under just doing austerities?
Yes, because it's within the duties. So because it's within the duties, we just keep doing that, because we know trouble comes. Whatever you do, there's trouble, just like you're going to cook dinner. Does that mean when you finish dinner, there's no pots to wash? Right? It means as a karmi, we cook dinner, and afterwards there's so many pots to wash. But as a devotee, now in devotional service, we cook, and magically there's no dirty pots. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So we know what we're getting into. That's the point of sticking to guna and karma, is what areas means you like the results of, but also the trouble that comes with it. You have to take both. So why it says, okay, I have the karma to do the activity, but do we have the guna to accept the bad that comes with it? So that's why Krishna says don't do what's not yours, because then you'll try to change the whole process so that you don't get those bad results. So that's improper. Because we have this idea is I can get rid of the unpleasant. But in the material world, it means unpleasant. So it says, yeah. Okay. A devotee should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program, depending on the Lord for everything. Right? So regular program is defined by, you know, what work we're supposed to do. The word upadharayan, considering, is very significant in this verse. This word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. This is what in Bengali you call chechamechi. Chechamechi, when you get a whole bunch of birds together and they're all... That's
probably just discussing what's for breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, yeah. Probably. Okay. This word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. He understands what is happening in material conditional life. So you know what's happening, you know what you're working with. Before we don't, we think, no, I can avoid all this bad, I can make everything good. Now we know that you can't do that. So therefore we just deal with it. Because being Krishna consciousness is the real taste. We're on the assumption that perfect material arrangements is what will make happiness. But it's not. It's the consciousness that makes happiness. Does that make sense? You know, let us say you have someone that very fastidious, they keep everything nicely and everything in its place and all that, and they go out for the weekend for some work, but the kids are at home, and when they come back on Sunday night, it looks like a bomb hit the place. So when they walk in the door, do they go, ah, we're home? No, they go, what happened? This, and they're total anxiety. Now, let's say you have that particular family where, you know, on the, how you say, the coffee table is all the pizza boxes, and then there's a few on the seat, if, as long as no one else is sitting there, but as soon as they are, you toss them over the back of the seat. And then when they come home, and it looks like that, then they go, ah, we're home. You understand? So it's not the physical condition of things that create happiness, it's the consciousness, it's the perception. That's the thing. That's the reality. Now, therefore, Krishna consciousness, because it's connected with the soul, then we, because it's the soul that's happy, not the body. So we can only be happy in connection with Krishna consciousness. So if we add Krishna consciousness, that's where we'll be happy. So the material situation adjusting, that's not what's going to be a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the... Sri Sukadev Goswami continues, upon delivering Vimoksha, the king of the elephants, from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which resembles a crocodile, the Lord awarded him the status of Swarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, and other demigods who were praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord, sitting on the back of his carrier, Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. Srila Prabhupada explains, in this verse, the word vimoksha is significant. For a devotee, moksha, or mukti, salvation, means getting the position of the Lord's associate. The impersonalists are satisfied to get the liberation of merging into the Brahman effulgence. But for a devotee, mukti, liberation, means not to merge in the effulgence of the Lord, but to be directly promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and to become an associate of the Lord. In this regard, there is a relevant verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee who tolerates everything in this material world and patiently executes his devotional service can become muktipade sabhaya bhak, a bona fide candidate for liberation. The word dhaya bhak refers to a hereditary right to the Lord's mercy. A devotee must simply engage in devotional service, not caring about material situations. Then he automatically becomes a rightful candidate for promotion to Vaikuntha Loka. The devotee who renders unalloyed service to the Lord gets the right to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, just as a son inherits the property of his father. When a devotee gets liberation, he becomes free from material contamination and engages as a servant of the Lord. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6. Muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. The word sarupa refers to sarupya mukti, going back home, back to Godhead, and remaining the Lord's eternal associate. Having regained a spiritual body exactly resembling that of the Lord with four hands, holding the shank, chakra, gada, and padma. The difference between the mukti of the impersonalist and that of the devotee is that the devotee is immediately appointed an eternal servant of the Lord, whereas the impersonalist, although merging the effulgence of the Brahmajyoti, is still insecure and therefore generally falls again to this material world. Aruhya kritchalena param padam tata parantyado nadrita yushmad angrayaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Although the impersonalist rises to the Brahman effulgence and enters into that effulgence, he has no engagement in the service of the Lord, and therefore he is again attracted to materialistic philanthropic activities. Right. So here we're saying, so he sees there's two, in these two sentences, one says generally falls down into the material world. The second one says he does fall. What's the difference between them? Right. Means merging into the Brahman effulgence is the common point. But in one, if he takes up devotional service, then he moves forward to Vaikuntha. And the other, if he doesn't take up devotional service, he will come back to the material world. We understand? So the only ones that merge into the Brahman and take up devotional service are those who are killed by the Lord. Because then seeing the Lord, now being in a pure state, now they can think about him on the transcendental platform instead of having a materialistic concept. Though they don't have affection, but because he is the supreme transcendental, they can get attracted. So from that position they can. That's why you see so many times it says the demon was killed and merged into the Lord, and then after that he went back to Godhead. Because emerging into the Lord, then thinking about the Lord, then he went back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Yeah. Thus he comes down to open hospitals and educational institutions, feed poor men, and perform similar materialistic activities, which the impersonalist thinks are more precious than serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Before this engagement, they were thinking that it's all maya, all illusion, so anything that you do is all illusion. But now somehow or another, after getting to that point, and then getting no taste, they fall back. Now they start to do these things because it gives some taste. Because their impersonal philosophy will give them no taste. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Being following all these things, giving up material attachment, unless you gain attachment to Krishna, then you'll fall back into something mundane. So that's the whole idea, is that we're not you don't give up culture, but you follow the culture of Krishna consciousness. We don't give up the intellectual process. We bring it in line with Krishna. Right? So whatever we're doing, we bring that in line with Krishna. Then we're able to move forward. Otherwise, we'll just come back. We don't take up Krishna's culture. We will fall back into whatever culture we used to be in. Right? We don't intellectually apply ourselves in Krishna consciousness, we will fall back into some mundane. We don't read the Vedic literatures and appreciate the literary aspect, we will fall back into reading mundane literature. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the case of the being emerges into Brahman, his antakarana is purified. So what would cause him to come back?
Because he still has the karana sharir. He got rid of the linga sharir and the stula sharir, but he didn't get rid of the karana sharir. He still thinks I'm the controller and enjoyer. Why is he in Brahman? He wants to be the enjoyer. He wants to merge in Brahman, so he is Brahman, and he wants to enjoy the bliss of Brahman. So he's still controller and enjoyer. So that brings him back, because he can't be the controller and enjoyer in the spiritual world, so there's no interest there. So the only place you can be is in the material world.
Why wouldn't he just stay in Brahman?
Because you can't. You get bored. You're Satchit Ananda. And he's only dealing with one or two aspects. Right? So, therefore, because the Ananda aspect is the one you're not dealing with. And so the goal of things has to be Ananda. So since he's not getting any Ananda, actually, he's just come to the neutral state. right? You were taking it that in the material world, you have a problem, you get rid of it, then you're happy. So they're thinking, I'm in the material world, I get rid of the material world, I'll be happy. But that's a mundane concept of happiness. So when he gets there, all it is he's in the neutral state. There's no material problems, so that's his happiness. So that's just the natural state of the jiva. But the jiva, being tattvastha, can't stay in one place. It has to be under the internal potency, or if not, it has to be under the shadow of the internal potency as the external. Because his connection to Krishna is through the Lord's energy. Does that make sense? So he will fall down. That's why it says here. But if he takes up Krishna consciousness, then he'll move forward. But only the demons who are killed by Krishna might do that. Or they're on that platform and they're still in their body, like Sukadeva Goswami of the Four Kumaras. Then they come in contact. Then from that platform they take up, then they can move forward. But for those who are just jivas, you know, merged in Brahman, then unless they were killed by Krishna, they're not going to move forward. You know? Or if they came across devotees or something and then they remember that. So unless they take up devotional service, they can't move forward. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Andantrita yushmad angrayaha. The impersonalists do not think that the service of the Lord is more valuable than serving the poor man or starting a school or hospital. Although they say Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya, Brahman is real and the material world is false, they are nonetheless very eager to serve the false material world and neglect the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the thing. Even though they say it's all illusion, they will accept this part of illusion. But they won't accept the Supreme Lord. Like you're saying, everything's Brahman or everything's illusion. So it's all the same, one or the other. So they're with Brahman, but they won't go into the temple. They'll go everywhere else, but not in the temple. So there is a bias against the Supreme Lord. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.